Congregation, last week we began our journey in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. More than just a way of identifying who we're praying to, but already something of who this God is that we are praying to. We pray to a God who is our Father, a God who loves us, a God who has gathered us together as his children. We pray to a Father who has unlimited strength and power. He is in heaven, and he always does what is right with his power. And with that introduction, Jesus leads us into the first request of the prayer. But where our requests are often about us and what we want, or often mistakenly what we think we need, we are taught by Jesus to begin our prayers with God. And just as the greatest commandment is to love God and then love our neighbor as ourselves, so too the great prayer begins with love for God and then love for neighbor. And so we begin this next section of the Lord's Prayer, which has us praying about God's name. Hallowed be your name. And together we're going to ask one question this evening, one question with two answers. And the question is, what does it mean to pray? Hallowed be your name. Here's answer number one. To pray, hallowed be your name, means God glorify your name. God glorify your name. Perhaps the best way for us to begin, though, is to begin by asking what this word hallow means. Hallow, after all, is not a word we use every day in our ordinary conversations. Unless you're a little bit different to anyone I know. This is not a word that is very familiar to you. The only time I've ever heard it used, other than in the context of the Lord's Prayer, of course, is in the title of a Harry Potter book. But that doesn't help us understand its meaning in the slightest. It's not a common word, to hallow. But it may help you to remember the meaning of the word if you associate it with another very similar sounding word. Hallow and holy. To hallow means to sanctify, to set something apart so that it can stand out from everything around it. And so when we pray, hallowed be your name, we are praying that God's name would stand out. That God's name would be, as it were, lit up in the sky in neon letters. That God would have the number one place in people's hearts all around the world, in the world, all around the world. That he would be honored by all. That he would be preferred to all the treasures and riches and joys of this life. God, glorify your name. And there are two supreme ways in which God answered this prayer. One has already happened, one is still to come. The one that has already happened. God has glorified his name in the person, the life and death of Jesus. We read before in John's Gospel of Jesus' death, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And brothers and sisters, God glorified his name in the most costliest of ways in the death of Jesus. A death that paved the way for the forgiveness of sins. What a glorious God we have. A God who delighted to show mercy even though it cost him the death of his own son. God has already glorified, hallowed, set apart his name in the death of Jesus. But there is also a supreme way in which this prayer is still to be answered. For Jesus is coming again. We read of Jesus in Philippians 2. You're familiar with the words. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. when Jesus comes again, every knee will bow and God's name will be glorified. God's name will be hallowed in a supreme way. And so this prayer, when we pray it rightly, should spur us on and propel our sense, our desire, our fervor for evangelism and mission into a higher gear. For mission fulfills this prayer and is in fact an answer to this prayer. The mission of the church uniquely glorifies God's name. It makes God's name stand out uniquely and gloriously in the world. It makes God's name stand out in the most magnificent of ways. You see, more than in any other way, we want God's name to be glorified in the hearts of people, in the hearts of sinners, in the hearts of people like you and like me, who know that we have disobeyed the God of the universe. God's name will be glorified in our mission as a church. And how we need to pray this. For if you are anything like me, you know how easy it is to be distracted. To be distracted by what is not as important. The things we get distracted by might still be of some importance, even of great importance. Food to eat, clothes to wear, daily employment, houses to live in. But how easy it is for our minds to become controlled by what is somewhat important and forget what is supremely important, the mission of the church and salvation for the lost. Lydia and I observed that just last night in a way, and I'm not going to be particularly critical, but we were at the dinner for Emily's Voice last night, and the pastor who was giving the appeal was speaking about the supreme importance. There is no greater passion, no greater cause than you can give yourself to than to save the lives of the unborn. And I thought, I agree with him in part, and yet the eternal salvation of the lost is of even greater importance. Why don't you tell me, think for a moment this evening about your prayers. Do you pray this way? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. If your prayers were to be written out, as we've been reading some prayers, praying some written prayers, if your prayers were to be written out on paper, how much of your prayers would be about God, about God's glory being magnified in the world? How much of your prayers are about you? Series of requests for you and for your life, for your glory, for your comfort. And friends, it's not wrong for us to bring our requests before God. He encourages us to do so. So discouraging you from praying for your needs, the needs that are on your heart, the concerns that are on your heart, that's the last thing I want to do this evening. But it's a question of balance. And if our prayers are all about us, then we've forgotten who we are praying to. We've forgotten why we are here, why we are in this world. We are not here so that our life would go easy and we would have a pleasurable time, a good time. We're here for the glory of God. That's why He made us. And God calls us to glorify Him in all things. And if our chief end, our mission, is to glorify God, then that should surely include glorifying God in our prayers as well. So pray for your own needs, yes. But before you do so, pray. Follow the example of prayer that Jesus gives us. First, focus your heart on God. Pray that His name might be honored and glorified in the world. Pray that His name might be honored and glorified in the way that you live as you bear God's name. In our speech, in all our lives, and then bring your requests before your Heavenly Father. What does it mean to pray, "Hallowed be your name"? Answer number one, it means this: God, glorify your name in my heart, in the world. Glorify your name. Now here's answer number two. What does it mean to pray, "Hallowed be your name"? Secondly, it means, God, may we delight in your name. May we delight in your name. The person who prays this prayer, you see, is calling on everyone to share this experience of knowing God, to join them in gratitude and thanks and adoration. They have a burning desire for you to be excited in God, a consuming passion that you may delight in God just as they do. But this is not just a prayer that God would delight in himself and that would be all. This is not just a prayer that God would cause other people to delight in him. It's also a prayer that you would delight in God, who he is. Delight in God's name. When we delight in God's name, we're delighting in who God is and what he's done. That's how the Catechism put it. And there are hundreds and thousands of ways to delight in God like this. How many do you do? Do you delight in God's name as you walk through the park, delighting in the alternating beauty of the jacaranda purple and the silky oak orange or yellow? Painting the landscape with the colours of their ingenious and creative creator? Or do you ponder the silent beauty and majestic and majesty of the night sky? The vibrant colours of the rainbow, the sound of birdsong in the morning, the hail that rattles upon your windows or your roof, the raw beauty of the lightning storms, with both their danger and excitement wrapped up together in the heart of a child? Do you delight in God's name as you make music on your guitar or piano or drum kit or saxophone, delighting in the beauty of the gift of music that God has given us? Do you delight in God's name as you read a psalm and allow yourself to be captured by the moment, caught up in the story, rescued from the miry clay, have your feet on a solid rock and rejoice in salvation? Do you delight in God's name as you read about the Lamb who came to take away the sin of the world? As you read that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us? As you read that there is no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For you to delight in God's name, for me to delight in God's name, we must first of all delight in God. Do you delight in God? Do you know him? Do you love him? For if you don't, then this sermon and this prayer will surely not make any sense to you. You'll wonder what we're on about. You won't understand. And if that's you, start with Jesus. Seek to understand why he came and what he did. Ask God, pray to God, ask God to help you understand and delight in him. Delight in Jesus. And if you do already delight in God, don't stop. Don't stop. Press on to new and higher heights. Keep exploring with the world with a sense of wonder, looking for fresh angles for praise and delight and beauty. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with others. Spend time in worship, delighting in God. When we delight in God, something happens that we may not expect. Our lives are transformed. That may not have been our goal when we embarked upon our journey of prayer, hallowed be your name, and yet it very easily happens. For as we delight in God, and you know this from your own experience, as we delight in God, we are weaned from our delight in the pleasures of sin. And so God's glory is less obscured in our lives. Our lingering indifference and ingratitude is discarded along the way. And that too fuels a desire in our hearts to delight in God. To delight in him, not just in our words and our thoughts, but also in our deeds. And we begin to deeply desire that our actions will not dishonor his name, but rather point others to a wondrous sense of God's beauty. As John Calvin says, we are captivated with wonderment for him. And so we want to change. We want to grow. We want to throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Why? So that we can pursue the beauty, the joy of knowing God, delighting in God, experiencing God's beauty, and a heart of grateful joy towards him. So ask the Lord to help you make this most important prayer one of your most common prayers, the one you most desire to see answered. Delight yourself in the Lord, and his name will be honored. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's pray.